Welcome to Mox on the Mic, your exclusive look into all things Chattanooga athletics. Here's your host, Chris Goforth.
Welcome in this week to Mox on the Mic, and we are ready to hit the diamond and talk a little softball with the head coach of the Chattanooga Mox and Frank Reed. Mox are at home this weekend. They welcome in UNCG to a new look Frost Stadium. If you haven't seen it yet, there's been a lot of changes. We'll talk with Coach Reed about that, about the new look at Frost Stadium, and a little bit about his team. It's been a while since we had the chance to catch up with the Mox head coach. As always, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review Mox on the Mic. We appreciate it. It just helps us be able to find Mox fans and helps Mox fans be able to find us. Frank Reed, he's our guest this week on Mox on the Mic. Coach, as always, man, I appreciate you, giving us a little bit of time. UNCG coming into town this weekend. A little bit about what folks are going to see when they head back to Frost Stadium this weekend.
Well, you know, those who hadn't been there, hadn't had a chance to take a peek, all new turf field. I'm not sure everything's going to be completed. There's still some padded walls to go up, but nothing that would keep us, I don't think, from playing. So all new turf field, beautiful facility, all the logos and things. It's going to really make it stand out. Something that's really going to make Chattanooga softball really proud for the next few years. So we're excited. We haven't even been on ourselves, so hopefully we're going to get to practice there tomorrow a little bit. And just to see how that's going to play, we've been out there just once, experimental with AstroTurf people, just trying to regulate the play, make sure it's quick enough, but not too quick, because they tell me once you adjust it to a certain level of play, you can't come back. You can't go down, but you can always go up. So we think we've got it in a good place. We'll practice again tomorrow. You can adjust that by the feel that you put in it, sand and the beads, the rubber feel. So hopefully we've got it in a good place, and you'll have a great weekend.
So your team, at least as of right now, hasn't really had the opportunity to see what the finished product there looks like, right?
Well, we've seen it. We walked out there on it. Some of them have, but we had some infielders go out, an outfielder, a pitcher, and a catcher go out just to try to adjust the play. You can do that by the, like I said, where you put the field in. The sand is one of the big things that you add to it, because once the sand hardens up, and with rubber, it determines how quick the field will play. And we want it to play as closely as the regular dirt and grass as we can. A lot of teams like it really fast. We may speed it up a little bit, but right now we're going to have to experiment with it to see exactly how that's going to do. Tomorrow will be our first time to have everybody out there and get input from the entire team.
What's been the feedback so far from your players on it? Those that have seen it, is there a little bit of a wow factor now?
Yeah, you know, a lot of it's been trying to figure out what they want to play in as far as shoes go. You can play in your regular cleats, or you can go to a molded shoe. You can even go to more of a turf style shoe to play on it. So I think tomorrow I'll give them a good chance to see if they want to still play in their metal cleats. But a team coming in can play. They can play in metal. It's not a big deal. And so that'll be a little bit of a different thing. And just reading the ball off the turf. You know, there's no really bad hops. You don't get those things. And so about the only difference is the adjustment of how fast the ball is going to play. Sliding, the only thing that I really think is going to be the big difference. You slide, you've probably seen baseball, you know, mostly all your big college teams are playing on turf and baseball. So softball's a little slow to come around. It'll eventually all come around. I think they'll have to do that. But when you slide, it's a little quicker. So if you start your slide normal, you'd probably slide on past the base, go really quick. So you have to adjust, you know, your start time for the slide. But that's usually you can figure that out after a couple of those. But outside of that, you know, it can rain 15 minutes right before it quits raining. We can be out there ready to play. There's no dirt and dust, and there's no lining of the fields. You know, it's got great drainage there that will have the field ready as quickly as it quits raining. You're ready to go out and start a game. So that's going to be huge. We're not only doing that field, but they're doing two additional fields there at Warner Park. So we were like this last season, we were trying to adjust for the tournament where we had to deal with the weather and pulling tarps and all that kind of stuff. We won't have to do that ever again. So I'm excited about that part. No fun getting up early in the morning to pull tarp, only to have to put it back on to save, you know, the games for the week or weekend. So, yeah, we're excited about that part. It's going to be a great venue. Not that it already wasn't, but it's going to be a really great venue for our fans and the people to see the games.
How many other teams in the Southern Conference, Coach, play on turf fields?
None. Like I said, softball's slow to come around. You just get online and look at all your baseball programs. That's what you're doing. Even a lot of I don't know what the Southern Conference baseball teams are doing. There may be some that have it. So everybody, you know, still some old school. Not old school as they come. You know, they like the dirt and the grass, and it's okay. But you know, in what we do in such a quick amount of time, you know, we're playing in February, and we're trying to depend on the weather, and we're dodging weather. We've had 90% of our games this year have been impacted by weather. And so that's no fun. You know, you're sitting around waiting for it to quit raining, or if it's going to start raining, if you're going to pull a tarp, you're going to take a tarp off. You know, we won't have to deal with that here in Chattanooga anymore. We played on turf at Gardner Webb this year, and we loved it. Our kids loved it. So, and it rained that weekend. It's funny, it rained that weekend, and we were sort of, you know, we're in that mode of, hey, it's bad weather. What's going to happen? Well, you know, it rained, and about 30 minutes before game time, rain quit, and we were out there playing and got the whole tournament in. So nobody has it, but, you know, you'll eventually see a lot of programs start to get it. And, you know, and we host a tournament here this year, so we get to, I think we had to deal a little bit with rain last year in Greensboro. You know, we won't have to deal with rain in the conference tournament. If we can get a two-hour window where it's not going to rain, even if we start a game, you know, as soon as it quits, we'll be able to start right back. Because of the turf, and like I said, it's the up and coming thing. The cool thing about it is, you know, your mounds and your batter's boxes are Velcroed in. So once you get wear and tear there, and even around, not so much Velcroed around the bases, but it's easy to switch out. But your mounds and your batter's boxes can be taken right up and just stuck back in with a Velcro, latest greatest stuff that they have, and you can never tell it's not, you know, it's not down there for like permanent or whatever. So, you know, you'll have some of those. I was talking to AstroTurf people the other day. They said you probably go through maybe a couple, three pitching mounds in the batter's boxes, right side batter's boxes probably in a season, but they're just like a matter of pulling them up and setting them right back in.
Only three Southern Conference series left. Bring us up to date on kind of how things have gone for you guys.
Well, you know, we've always been a slow team to start, and typical this year, we got to figure out how to get off the bus and be ready to play. I think the biggest thing for us, we lost our first series to Mercer, and I think that sort of little wow factor trying to get us back in pocket. But, you know, we took the series from Western Carolina, and we took the series this weekend from Eastern ETSU. So it's all over the place in the conference. Fewest losses are maybe three, and the most losses are five or six. You know, I don't think we have five. So everybody's got losses, and one of the things that, and some of them haven't been able to complete games because of weather. So that factors in. I had a season one year where we didn't have as many wins, but we didn't have as many losses. So the winning percentage ruled us out as being the champion. So basically, if you lose a game to weather, it's almost got like taking a loss. So we have some teams that are doing that. And then everybody has an off weekend. So there's some uneven numbers of games. And so everybody's starting to catch back up a little bit with the numbers of games. And like I said, everybody's sort of all over the board. You'll see a lot of movement in the way the conference is going to fall out here in the next couple of weeks.
UNCG comes in this weekend, a team that is, I guess, at least the last couple of years has been known for hitting a lot of home runs. Give me a little scouting report on UNCG and what you expect from them this weekend.
Well, they're still a good team. They're not hitting home runs like they have in the past. and I don't know exactly how many they've hit, been very vulnerable this year, taking some losses. I think they have 3 losses already. So, like us, got figuring out what team's going to show up to play each day for them. And it should be very interesting to see. Basically, we're all fresh on this turf, so it's not going to be an advantage for Chattanooga so much. We may have a couple of practices on it, but to see how all that's going to play out, and everybody's trying to get the feel for that. But good team. They don't. They haven't. Still depending, I think, on the home run, but hadn't gotten the home runs that they've gotten in the past. So they're not a team that adapted, I think, so much to bunting the ball or the short game or the quick game, and they're not built that way. And so when they lose the home runs, they lose a big part of their offense. But they're still a good team that can beat you, beat anybody in the conference. But they've taken some pretty good losses this year, as has everybody. So we'll figure it out. They were them and Sanford both. Sanford has 5 losses, just like us. And now they're sitting in three because they play more ball games than we have. So like I said, the next few weeks are going to really determine how the league is going to play out. But we're going to get to host the tournament there, so it's going to be a big weekend. If you miss the conference tournament in Chattanooga, you're going to really miss something special. With the new turf and everything, we'll be able to get all those games in, and it'll be a great venue for softball people to come out. Not just softball people, but people who just love watch a great sport.
I want to get you to talk for a little bit about some of your players as well. Kaylee Phillips is she's having a heck of a year for you, hitting 344 and has shown off the power and has not struck out very often. That's this is exactly what you expected when she enrolled in Chattanooga, right?
Yeah. She got off to a little bit of a slow start, but she's settling in. And we need her to do that. We've been hitting her in a 4 spot. We moved her up, trying to make some changes in the lineup. I'm not a big lineup changer, and I moved her to the leadoff spot the other day because we weren't getting any action out of our 1 or 2 hole. And so I'm thinking, why not put our best hitter up there and give her maybe an extra swing or maybe extra 2 swings during the course of a game. So we let her off. We won, so we stayed with the winning lineup. We won again in that spot, so I'll very likely that she'll continue to do that spot. Like, so we weren't getting anything out of 1 or 2. And we needed that, and she was hitting in 4. And we hadn't been getting a lot out of 3, our 3 hole either. So, who knows, why not? We move somebody there to see if we can get generate a little bit more offense. And it has, and it's amazing how many times the lead, even though you think it rolls through and it all changes, it's amazing how many times that leadoff hitter comes back up in a situation where you need to drive runs in. And so I've always realized that, but this weekend was really big because I moved her in that 1 spot, and then she rolled back in the spot where, hey, we need a big hit here, or we need to move some runners. And so we'll continue to do that for a while. But she's got a good year. She's playing really good, solid defense. She'd like to catch for us. Jace Purdy's done really, really well. So is Presley Williamson. So, she's pretty anchored down at third base spot, with her quickness and being able to get and cover the bunt. You see a lot of third basemen that can make the everyday plays and make the hard shots, but they can't get up there and cover that quick kid that can lay that bunt down, just a few feet out from the plate. She can do that. So it's been big for us.
Surprised at the power that Addie Keelan has shown?
Not really. Addie's, we know Addie's had the power, but if you got the stats in front of you, you'll see that she strikes out a lot as well. She hit the big home run in the conference championship last year, hit one, I think hit it over their scoreboard, and she has the power to be able to do that. We never doubted that she didn't. We're just a little concerned about her consistency and being able to do it. We moved her to center field, which some days I like her there, some days I don't. We have some people that are a little quicker, been anticipating maybe moving her over to right back to right where she has been over the past couple of years. But No, Addie's power doesn't shock me at all. The only thing that we're concerned with Addie is that she has quality at bats. So sometimes it's like, you know, I'm going to hit it a long way, or I'm going to hit it hard, and that's, you know, or I'm going to strike out. So, but she's gotten a lot of bat-to-glove hits where she just killed the ball and, you know, it's right at somebody. But she's definitely a pull hitter, so she doesn't hit a ton to the opposite side of the field. She's worked on that a little bit. But I think for her, she's got to learn how to slow down sometime and realize that sometimes it's just about going opposite field and, you know, just putting it in play. And you can get make a lot of things happen for you, you know, especially if you're doing a shift on her. And she can make a lot of things happen that way. But we needed that power. I mean, I think she's got maybe eight or nine home runs. But she's capable of hitting that double, I think. And I'd like to see her be able to do double that, you know, going into the last few weeks of the series.
Emily Coltharp has kind of been your offensive spark plug over these last couple of years. A little bit about her performance so far this year.
Well, you know, you don't have to be a genius to look at and see that Emily's not having the year that she's had in the past. She's preseason pick for most valuable player. I talked to her when I said, I'm going to nominate you for this award. We can only nominate. We don't get to vote for our own people. I'm going to nominate you. I think you deserve it. But understand that sometimes it puts a lot of pressure on you as a player to be able to try to live up to that. And I'm not sure if she feels that pressure or not. But she's not had the season that she's had in the past offensively, and we need her to do it. She's been she was our one hole hitter forever, and we dropped her to two, maybe even dropped her to nine, just to see if we could get some things rolling with her. She's trying to swing away a little bit, which maybe I think that might help her some, and trying to make her game threefold where she can hit it, she can bunt it, and she can also be able to, you know, drive in for some power. But she's, you know, mainstay with what we try to do. You know, Emily's, the ideal, if you have to pick the ideal Chattanooga player that, you know, you want to put out there in front of everybody, Emily is definitely that person, on the field and off the field. So, we're excited about having her, this final year. I'm hopefully she's be able to pick her offense up just a little bit to be able to help us. If we could get her back in that one hole and Kaylee be able to drive some more runs in.
Spend a few minutes and talk a little bit about this pitching staff and just kind of what you've seen from them. You've got, five pitchers there and at least four of them anyway. It looks like you've kind of spread the wealth a little bit in terms of appearances and innings.
Yeah, we talked about that earlier with people about why everybody's still sold on the idea that pitchers can pitch forever. I've been working in this direction for the last few years of trying to create a staff create pitchers or have pitchers that complement each other. And I think we've moved in that direction. Like you said, you can see the number of innings that they all have. And some of them have stats that maybe the other don't have as far as strikeouts and walks and those types of things and batting averages against those people. So all their ERAs are pretty good. We used five pitchers this weekend. We didn't go into the weekend thinking we were going to use five pitchers. We went into the weekend knowing we had five pitchers to use if we needed them. We used three on Saturday, four on Saturday. And then Brooke pitched the single game, the last game on Saturday for the win. But we used three in the first game. And then Taylor Long started the third game on Sunday. And went four innings before Brooke relieved her. So we got, Taylor and Paige, they're two freshmen. If you look at their stats, there's a couple of ways I measure quality pitching. Innings pitched per strikeouts. A good pitcher is going to have, if they've got 50 innings pitched, they've got 50 strikeouts. If they've got 50 innings pitched and they got 75 strikeouts, they're really doing a heck of a job. So, we look at those things. And we look at, base on balls and then batting averages against, and sometimes that'll fool you where you got a Brooke Parrott who doesn't strike out a lot of people, but she, she's got a good ERA and she wins a lot of ball games for you just by, moving the ball around and getting people popping up grounding out and those types of things. And we know Brooks not a strikeout pitcher, but we got Paige and Taylor over that, and then Alyssa Levitas, she's got some good quality innings for us. Got a big win. She was pitcher of the month last month. You know, she had the 15, I think, strikeouts in the Gardner-Webb tournament, and she had another game where she had several strikeouts. So she's done really, really well. And then Izzy Alley, you know, Izzy is a drop ball pitcher that's going to keep him off pace. You know, she's not going to, she'll throw a rise every now and then, but she's the kid that keeps it down, sets her pitches up with her curveball, and her changeup. You know, those are the pitches she depends on. And, you know, when she is on, she's really, really, really hard to hit. So this is sort of what I envision. We'll lose Brooke next year. This will be her last year. But we're bringing in another pitcher that's a little different than Brooks. So we're excited that we have this staff of pitchers that we can go to. I know last year we're trying to pull pitching out of the hat at some point, you know, and then we had to hand the ball to Brooke and hand the ball to Brooke and hand the ball to Brooke in the conference tournament. And it's not what we wanted to have to do, but Brooke was hot and she was getting the outs for us and, you know, was able to win the conference championship with her. So the fact that we have a staff, some days it's hard to think who you want to start and how you want to combo them, because each one of them has a little different flavor that you can throw at the visiting team. And, you know, contrary to what East did to us, you know, we threw the first pitcher, they were able to secure a win on that. And then the second pitcher we won. And then we knew they were going to bring that first pitcher back because, you know, she had got the win on Saturday, but, in a situation we're in, we don't have to bring that same pitcher back. So we don't have to worry about, hey, they've seen her for, you know, two or three times around. We know what she throws because they brought her back on Sunday and we scored 6 runs off her the first inning. So having a staff is definitely something that complements what we're trying to do, you know, at Chattanooga.
Coach, appreciate the time, and we'll look forward to catching up with you again and look forward to seeing you this weekend at Frost Stadium.
Okay, thanks for calling, and I hope you guys have a great week.
Thanks to Coach Reed for his time, and again, looking forward to seeing his team on the new AstroTurf out at Frost Stadium this weekend. Mox will play a doubleheader against UNCG on Saturday, and then a single game on Sunday. Check the schedule page at GoMox.com to get all the details. Until then, for our producer, Tate Johnson, I'm Chris Goforth saying so long, everybody, and go Mox.
Thanks for listening to Mox on the Mic. Please remember to rate, subscribe, and review. And we'll see you again soon.